like start handing out visitor packets or something. I'm kidding. So it's just been a while, and then last week. So amen. It's kind of interesting that you know, you're kind of on the right track with Adrienne earlier. Spoke that and what she had, and then you know, super incredible faith man was reading out of 91st Psalms, and that's where I'm going to go tonight. So it's incredible. I know, it's amazing, isn't it? So we're going to talk about tonight. He will deliver us. There's just, how many know that there's a lot of weird stuff going on in the world right now? If you haven't noticed, and then everything at the grocery store, it seems like it just keeps going. Everything keeps getting, seems like crazy. There's war, or there's wars and rumors of wars in the world. A lot of dissension in the world, isn't there? And a lot of fighting going on, a lot of disagreements. And there's definitely a lot of uncertainty. But, and I'll just say this, you know, no matter what goes on, we here in this church will always believe that God is on your side. And there's so many denominations, so many people that think that God, the theology is that God and the devil are working together to teach you a lesson, right? I mean, I think the devil's doing a good enough job on his own, messing stuff up. I don't think he needs God to help him out, right? So that's kind of ridiculous. The word does not teach that God is like kind of doing the winking, you know, the side winking thing and letting the devil do what he wants to do. If that was the case, then why did Jesus go to the cross, right? Why did he waste his time going to the cross, redeeming us, setting us free from poverty, sickness, and spiritual death? And so it doesn't matter what you feel like, what you are feeling like, or what you sense on the inside, God is for you. He is not against you. And he wants you to succeed. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to be full of peace and love and joy in your life and your family more than you do. Because there are, obviously the devil wants you to get discouraged. Because why? Because it's a snowball effect. It affects your health, your mental health, your physical health. It impacts everything that you have in your life. And you look at John chapter 10, verse 9 through 11. We'll start John chapter 10, verse 9. We're not going to go a long time tonight. Because, but I think we need to nail down some scriptures tonight and get some things in our mind, because guess what? You can see everything ahead of you that is negative, bills, inflation, what's going on, everything. You can look at these things and get discouraged. You know, the Israelites were in slavery, but they eventually came out of it. Right? Yeah. The highlight is they came out. Yes. I remember watching some show one time, and this guy, I think he's a real intellectual, was talking about, well, you know, it's just incredible how, you know, in the Bible, God just endorses slavery. Did you read Exodus? Did you realize what every time Moses kept saying was, let my people go? There's a whole book called Exodus. That means getting free from slavery. God is not for slavery. It's just amazing how people will just say ridiculous things and just, you know, well, the Bible says this, and the Bible endorses this, and the Bible endorses slavery, and the Bible does not endorse. The Bible talks about the devil, but it never endorses the devil. Right? A lot of things the Bible talks about, but it does not endorse the devil. It speaks of the devil. Why? Because we need to know who our enemy is. Remember that little, when you were a little kid, Stranger Danger? Your parents did that. I'm a Gen Xer, so all the Gen Xers in here, your parents were at home, right? Our parents were gone about half the time, so we kind of, a lot of us raised ourselves. But anyway, that's a whole other story. But anyway, yeah, you have to know your enemy, right? It doesn't mean that we buddy and pal up with them, but it just means we're aware of our enemy, so we know what to look for, and we know what to avoid, and we know how to handle ourselves. John chapter 10, verse 9 through 10, I'm reading this out of Amplified Classic. And this is Jesus speaking. He says, I am the door. Anyone who enters through me, here we go, will be saved and will live. He will come in and he will go out freely and find pasture. Here we go. Verse 10, the thief comes only in order to what? Steal and kill and destroy. I came that may have and enjoy life. Isn't that interesting? And have it abundance in abundance to the full till it overflows. Guess what? If you are broke, busted, and disgusted, that is not the recipe that you're supposed to live by. Well, but everything's going on in the economy. You know what? We need to still have joy. Why? Because joy is our strength. Yeah. If you get discouraged and get upset, everything starts going downhill for you. Yeah. Everything does. Everything does. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd risks and lays down his life for the sheep. He's laid it all down for us, and he's going to continue to lay it down for us. Now, this is something, too, I believe it's really important for us, is we think that we always talk about everything in the past. You know, oh, God's already done everything in the past, and that's true. But you know what? God is still working on our behalf right now. He's still on the job. Jesus isn't up there popping grapes with a bunch of chubby little cherubs out there floating around playing harps. That's not it at all. He's engaged. Why? The Holy Spirit is here taking over his ministry. Jesus didn't check out. In fact, he's our intercessor. So that means what is he doing? Jesus, one of Jesus' jobs, now is he healer through the Holy Spirit, but one of his jobs is to intercede for us. That means when we pray to the Father, who do we speak? We speak in the name of Jesus. Why? Because he's the gateway. He said there in John, I am the what? The way, the truth, and the life. He's the way. That means we have to go to God through Jesus. It's always going to be like that, and it's always been like that. Why? Because he cut covenant with God so that we can enter in. Too many times I just feel like, you know, a lot of preachers talking about that. Well, you know, God's already done everything. He has been done past tense, but he's still on the job, right? Why do we spend our time praying in faith if everything's already been done for us? No, we go to God because we still go, Mr. Incredible Faith Man. He's talking about using our faith, right? Let's read this again. In verse 10, it says, the thief comes only in order to steal and to kill and to destroy, right? Interestingly enough, Jesus just separates himself from the thief. The thief is to kill, steal, and destroy. What does that mean? Steal your joy, steal your pride, right? Steal your confidence. Steal everything about you. It's not just stealing stuff, but the devil comes along to destroy your confidence, to destroy your joy, to destroy your hope. See, we don't have faith unless we have hope. Because faith is something we attach to hope. I've said this before, I'm laughing. I am not putting my hope in an old gremlin. Remember those cars? I mean, I know some people think they're cool, right? But I'm not believing for a gremlin, okay? Why? Because I don't have any desire to have or have one. Hello, right? So that's not on my faith bucket list is anything like that, okay? And my first car, oh my goodness, I should have just threw it in neutral and pushed it off a cliff. Oh my goodness, I think it was terrible. It was awful. It was a big money pit, you know? Yeah, it was terrible. So I have no hope to get another one ever in my life again. So we got to have hope. The hope, if hope is destroyed, then you won't apply your faith. You won't bother having any faith because your hope is destroyed. The hope is the desire. The faith is the confidence that God's going to do it for you. You're not going to put your confidence to God to put anything to apply faith or anything because you're beat down. That's one thing that the thief does. That's why people aren't receiving, because they don't believe, or they maybe had discouragement in the past, and they're like, well, why do this again? It's just going to happen like this. It's going to happen like this. Wrong. Psalms 91. This is one I'm going to dig in tonight just for a few minutes. And this will tell you, just these are secular studies, and we're obviously we're focused on the word tonight. Help Guide, which is a mental health syndicate, puts out things. It says, people who are mentally healthy have, here we go, a sense of contentment, a zest for living, and the ability to laugh and have fun. Now, this is secular psychologists here, right? The ability to deal with stress and bounce back from adversity. The meaning of the sense of meaning and purpose in both their activities and their relationships. The flexibility to learn new skills and adapt to change. We've always heard that too. The only thing constant is change, right? Balance between work and play, rest and activity, and the ability to build and maintain fulfilling relationships, self-confidence, and high self-esteem. See, those are all the attributes we see that Jesus wants all of you to have and all of us to have, right? Because he wants to get beat down, discouraged. Listen to, and this is Old Testament, this is Psalms 91, but this is God's character at work. I'm reading out of the Amplified Classic. I don't know, I just got a hankering for Amplified Classic this week. So it just kind of was like, every time I was like, ooh, Amplified Classic, ooh, Amplified Classic. They got like, what? It was just Amplified. Now it's Amplified, which is the new one, I guess, or whatever. And now they got Amplified Classic, which is the one I'm used to. So it's like, okay, guys, stop. Just put a name on it, leave it alone, and walk away, okay? Stop messing with it. Anyway, but Psalm 91 says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable. Whoa. And fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. I love that first verse there. Remain stable. Verse 2, I will save the Lord. Excuse me. He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, and in him I lean and rely, and in him I confidently trust. I can't say that for the government. I can't say that for, that slipped out. I can't say that for politicians, right? Anybody. Really can't. No, God's the only one that's solid. He's the only one. Sorry, Republican, Democrat, doesn't matter whoever. My faith's in God. And he's the one I put my trust in. Verse 3, for then he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. Then he will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings shall you trust and find refuge. His truth and his faithfulness are a shield and a buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror of night, or the economy, or inflation, or gas prices, right? It's easy to look at the situation, right? It's easy to look, oh, that Goliath, he's big. Oh, that inflation. Oh, look at the prices of milk. Look at the price of this. Look at the price of this. Look at the price of this. The Bible says that the righteous has never lacked or seen begging for bread. Amen. I'm telling you what. The Hebrews, when they came out of Egypt, had a slave mentality. But I guarantee you, they did not have faith that God was going to deliver them that minute. I mean, they were hoping for something to happen. And the way they were talking to Moses and the way that everything was happening, they didn't have a lot of faith. But you know what? God sometimes is going to do good things for us, even though sometimes we don't feel like we're up to measure. I know that goes against every faith preacher sometimes. But guess what? They came out wealthy. Lots of gold. They were blessed beyond measure, and they were enslaved. Guess what we've been? We've been enslaved for 400 years. Last 100 and since what? 1914, since the Federal Reserve has been, we've been under slave. We've been enslaved to this rotten, foul financial system that I hope will die soon. I hope it will just go under. We've been enslaved. It's been exactly 400 years since we came here, and we've been enslaved. And you know what? When the Hebrews were set free from Egypt, Nothing they did was good enough to set them free. God did it because he loved them. Right? They weren't some super powerful faith people. Right? I mean, they weren't. They didn't have the ability to do it. And you know what? That's how God thrives, and that's how we have faith, is because he's doing things for us we don't have the ability to do. That's what faith is all about. If I could do it into myself, if you could do everything in your life by yourself, guess what? We wouldn't need him. Right? That's where faith comes in. We have to hold on to things, because either this scripture is true or it's not. Right? This goes on, and it says, verse 5, you shall not be afraid of the terror of night, nor of the arrow, the evil plots and the slanders of the wicked that flies by day. How many evil plots are going on right now in the world? Right? I mean, seriously, you know, I know this crazy stuff's going on, but don't you think one wacko at this point could have got a hold of nuclear weapon and just annihilated everything? Don't you think God's got his hand in something around here? Yeah. I mean, hello? We know that there's wackos out there that have lots of weapons, and there's all kinds of things going on right now with lots of abilities, and I believe it's just God's grace that we've got Psalms 91 working on our behalf, yeah. Right? Because I'm telling you what, the Bible says that we, the church, are going to get delivered here sometime. Yeah. We're going to be raptured. Now, what happens after that is like, good luck, guys, right? Because the devil's going to take over. But he's not taking over while the church is here. He's not taken over yet. And we're so irritating to him because we're a big thorn in his side. That's why the whole COVID junk was trying, because I believe that the Antichrist was trying to enslave everybody, put us under lock and key, and try to get something going, and it's not his time yet. Not his time yet. It's our time, the church. That's why the Bible says the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. The wicked and the evil hand over their finances from Egypt into the Hebrews' hands. I believe that we're going to see a miracle at some point. Amen. I really do. I believe that there's been prophetic words spoken, but I still stick with Psalms 91. I still do. It doesn't wear out, right? It's going to be around a lot longer than Twitter. What's the little short video thing that everybody watches all the time? The TikTok. It'll be around a lot longer than TikTok. I guarantee it, right? Verse 6, not in the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor of the destruction and sudden death that surprise and lay waste at noonday. I'm going to say this. I believe this. You know what? If it wasn't for God's hand and his mercy, I'd probably have been dead a long time ago. I almost died. I don't know. Almost drowned as a kid. I went head first into a curb. One time when I was a kid and I had a concussion, knocked me unconscious. And so, I mean, I did crazy stuff back then. You know, it's just God's mercy. You look back and you're like, God's saving me from things I don't even know I'm being saved from. I mean, I still remember this day we were out swimming and I was crazy as a kid. So I'd get on the deep end. I didn't know how to swim. I'm like, hey, that slide looks pretty cool. I'm going to go into that deep end, right? Well, anyway, I didn't pay attention. I'm sinking at the bottom. Somebody just grabs me up. Just pulls me out of that thing. I still remember today. I remember going headfirst into the curb as a kid. I think it was in kindergarten or first grade or something. You know, it was so crazy back then. It was like, I didn't wear a helmet. Nobody wore a helmet. You get a concussion. You're in the hospital for a week. You get back. And what do? You're on your bike without a helmet again. You know, I mean, it's hello. So, and then I was summoned to go to court to witness it didn't happen, but I mean, attorneys told me to go home, but because they had it all figured out. But anyway, I remember as a kid, Brian and I, we were just little guys going to California. I think we had family out there. but we were in an old Buick Skylark. If you know those things, those are like tanks, right? I mean, those are just built like tanks. We had a drunk driver come rear-end us 100 miles an hour. I think we were in Kansas or something. Just rear-end us, caved the whole back in. Brian and I, little guys, we're back there. No seat belts, you know. What in the world? As kids, you know. God had his hand in it. You cannot tell me that this scripture is not true. There's just, you know, I got way more than 9 lives. So it just, God's like, I'm pretty sure, you know, the other side, I'm going to have guardian angels and go like, you know what? I need a bonus because of you or something. I'm just telling you, you know, the whole, you know, between birth and 18 years old, this is ridiculous. So, you know, I told the Lord I didn't sign up for this when I was your guardian angels. But anyway, but this scripture is true. I've seen him. He's delivered me so many things. So many things that happened to me when I was a kid and younger and older and everything else too. Adrian and I, we almost got in car accidents and stuff like that too. And it just, God is protecting us. Verse 7, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Did you hear me? It won't come near you. Wackos can be in the streets, running around with guns, shooting and junk and everything. I'm declaring Psalms 91, right? Yes. And it doesn't hurt to have a few firearms around with a little bit of ammunition. I'm not saying that. That's my version, okay? Quote 91, but go get a few guns and buy some ammo, right? It'll come in handy. It says it's a good investment, too. I just, you know, I've never lost. My gun cabinet just keeps going up in value, so, you know. Guns, gold, silver, all that stuff. It just keeps, values keep going up. So, I'm talking about from an investment standpoint, right? Okay, so. Only a speculator shall you be yourself inaccessible in a secret place of the Most High as you witness the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord your refuge and the Most High your dwelling place. There shall no evil befall you, nor any plague or calamity come near your tent. For he will give his angels, I know this for sure, especially, charge over you to accompany and defend and preserve you in all your ways of obedience and service. I kid you not, I was in Africa, in Garsen, which is probably over by Somalia. I remember at night, I didn't have any of my guns with me in Africa. It's not like, you know, I'm taking any firearms or anything over there and protect myself. I'm in a, in the day I noticed that we were in Garsen and we were with this tribe and we're in this little village area, and I kept noticing these Muslims looking at us and watching us. And so anyway, then Vidar and our interpreter it was kind of like a corridor, and I was over here by myself, and they were kind of across the road. They're probably 150 yards away from me, over another one, and my room was over here. And sure enough, I wake up probably about, I don't know, maybe at 11 o'clock at night. I look out the window. Everything's got bars on it. They're ramming my door, trying to get into me. Yeah, what do I do? I've got no weapons. I've got no protection. You know what I did? Psalms 91. You know how many times I quoted Psalms 91 when I was in Africa? Now, Adrian's going to a different place than I am, but I'm saying where I was at, yeah, I was over by Somalia, and it was crazy over there. I'm telling you right now, if God, and this is very important, this scripture says in service, he'll protect you, and in service, if he's calling you to do something or whatever it is, you're going to be protected. I did not worry at all. We just kept, that's part of being led by the Spirit. Vidar and I, we went from Malindi, which is southern Kenya, and we went up to Garsen, which is kind of northeast against, kind of close to the border there of Somalia. And there'd probably be 20, 30 miles where there's like not one car on the road. I mean, it's just terrorists and all kinds of stuff all over there. Right? But you know what? He spoke to both of us, and we got we were at a guard station, and they, and he turned to me and says, "How are you feeling about this?" I said, "I feel fine about it. I feel great. Let's do it." I had peace on the inside, right? And one of the army soldiers, a couple of army soldiers, says, "Would you like us to go with you?" We're like, "Nah, we're fine." "Are you sure?" They could ask us two or three times. We're like, "No," because on the inside we just had that peace, right? Yeah, we had stuff going on, but guess what? It was like no one had gotten in with the gospel ever to this place. They didn't know any of these things. I mean, some of these churches only been around for, Christianity was only there for 10 years. These people didn't have an understanding of anything. When we left, you know what they're doing? They're raising people from the dead right after we left. I think it's worth it. Amen. Don't you?
Yes.
I mean, you know, we're seeing some of those students laying hands on people. We had reports of one or two people being raised from the dead because they got a hold of this, because we gave them some teachings. Amen. You know, they're talking about, you know, I remember in class one time I was teaching, and one of the pastors says, through interpreter we were talking, he says he doesn't understand in Isaiah where it says, whose stripes we are healed. Who are they talking about? They didn't know that was Jesus. Just simple things we take for granted that, again. So Psalms 91 works. Yeah. Let's move on here. Let's finish this up. They shall bear you upon their hands, talking about the angels, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the adder, and the young lion and the serpent shall you trample underfoot, because he is, oh, I love this part, he has set his love upon me. Did you know his love is set upon you? Did you know that his love is set upon you? See, it's all about love. His love is set upon you. You know, interesting thing too is when I was over there just spending time in prayer, and I was asking about things when I was in Africa, and it was like this. The Lord was like, "I love them and I love you, but I also love them and I need you to love them too." It's not like these people, you know, they can just hop a bus and they can go to Bible college, or, you know, they don't have cars. So, you know, when I show up in a big mud hut that's like probably a third the size of this room, you know, big mud hut, and they walk, I would say, maybe some of them 10 miles a day just to get where we're at. It's not all about you sometimes, by the way. I just, kind of important, right, for Christianity. I know we think it's about us all the time because we've got our Christmas list. We're always telling the Lord about what we need, but sometimes about other people. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. He loves you, you know it. He delivers you because he loves you. See, I think we miss that whole part because we are focused on the problem rather than his love is set upon us. You know what? God and Jesus and the Holy Ghost are not up there going, "Oh, great. Oh, geez. Jackie and Corey, they got electric bill. Oh, did you know it? Did you know it? What are we going to do? I don't know what we're going to do. They need diapers. They need this." Nobody's caught off guard. But his love is set upon them. And his love is set upon you no matter what it is that you're going through. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he knows and understands my name, has a personal knowledge of my mercy, love, and kindness. Trusts and relies on me, knowing I will never forsake him. No, never. You know it's crazy. I remember one time, I was mortgage advisor, and I was doing mortgages and consult and all this other stuff, and this company that I was with, just interest rates ticked up just 0.25%, and then all of a sudden they just decided, "We're going to close everything down. We're going to close everything down." They just came in one day, I was like, "Guys, we're shutting everything down. we're going to start laying people off. You're the first group. We got some other people coming behind us, blah, blah, blah. And I remember sitting in the meeting, okay? And everybody just, I mean, some of the guys were starting to tear up. And I just sat there. It wasn't real fun, I guarantee this. But I just smiled like this, and I just was smiling the whole time. And the manager over there asked me, he goes, "What are you smiling about?" And I says, "Man, I'm going to be fine." It's that whole different perspective. They all thought it was the end of the line. I thought, praise God, new chapter. I mean, of course, money was tight for a while. I got another job, and you know, things turned around. But the point is just, you know, I'm not defined by this job anyway, right? So that's the key. Whatever situation you're in, this doesn't define you. God defines you. I've done a lot of jobs, and I'm like, this isn't me. In fact, I'm doing that now. This isn't me, right? I'm sure Joseph went to somebody's like, wait a minute, this whole pit thing, this isn't my bag, baby, right? Yeah. You're going to go through things in life that are not you, and that's okay. But why? Because his love is set upon you. You're going to make it through. Because his word says so. And guess what? I've got to have the revelation that God is good and the devil's bad. God's for me and the devil's against me. You've got to have that revelation to begin with, right? He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I always laugh at people, you know, they're always worried about things like, oops, I said the bad word. Oop, God heard me. Well, you're so focused on what the bad things used to come out of your mouth rather than God does hear the good things and you crying out to him and you calling out to him. I will be with him in trouble. Anybody been in trouble? Is it just me? Been in the principal's office before, right? Get detention. We don't want to talk about that around my house. So some of the stories, we just like, okay, we'll move on. I'm not going to talk about it. And with long life will I satisfy him and show him what? My salvation. Got a few more here. Mayo Clinic. They know a few things, I think, don't they? Mayo Clinic, they about medical. Here's some things, guys, that if you don't walk in Psalms 91, and if you don't get your thinking under control, and you don't get the revelation that God, his love is set upon you, and he's working things out for you, right? Now, everything in this life is not going to be comfortable. It's not going to be roses and cupcakes all the time, but there's a process that we're going to go through. I remember, like, the first job you had. I remember the first job I had, and it, how many of you probably aren't doing the first job you ever did, right? I remember my first job, I was doing a dishwasher. I was 16. I was just like, I'm getting rid of my junk car, and I'm going to get a sweet ride. So I got the car, and I'm in this little sweat room. I fell, no windows. I'm like in there for sometimes on the weekends, you know, 6-8 hours a day. Sometimes working this job, and sometimes during the week I'd work a few hours. Anyway, so it's this little sweat room. It's so depressing. It was so awful. I will live like three or four months, and I made a whopping $3.35 an hour, baby. Wow, that's big time, right? See, I told you Adrian married for me for my money. So anyway, this little guy that was like, it was crazy because I'm thinking, what did I get into? This little guy that was like about a foot and a half shorter than me, and he'd stand on a bucket and eat off people's plates before we washed him. So it was like really weird. And yeah, his name was Jerry. He creeped me out really bad. The whole eating off people's plates thing. I was like, you know, okay, I can't deal with this anymore. So I've come a little ways since then. And I think we'll all have. So that's the point, is we can look back and say, okay, where did we start and where are we at now? Right? You know, maybe you got some more bills now that you didn't have because of economics, or maybe you had this or that or whatever. Don't give up. All right? It's, you know, this isn't over. And even when you take your last breath, if you got Jesus in your heart, oh, that's wonderful. I'm jealous. Right? Now I got things to do. We all have things to do here, so don't be doing that now. But here's some things that Mayo Clinic, on your body, okay? So we were talking about, you know, we always think the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We're always thinking about money, stealing this and this. In your body, stress can cause headaches, muscle tension or pain, chest pain, fatigue, stomach upset, and sleep problems. Your mood, it can change, and you can have anxiety, restlessness, lack of motivation or focus, memory problems, feeling overwhelmed, grumpiness or anger, sadness and depression. Anybody ever felt these things before? Just me? Right? Your behavior, overeating, undereating, anger outbursts, drug or alcohol misuse, tobacco use, avoiding friends, staying at home, exercising less often. And that staying home, think about how many people during COVID that impacted. That's a byproduct of depression. That's a byproduct of something else, and they forced it on us. So, and again, and this all too is, this goes on, this could cause things like divorce, lack of, or, you know, relationship breakdowns. All of these things can break down, you lose your job. Hebrews 13:5, we're almost finished here. Well, not really, but I got to stop sometime here. Well, buckle up, guys. Let's go another hour. All right, saddle up. Let's do this thing. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For it says, I will never leave you, what? Nor forsake you. Did you hear me? He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. The lie the enemy tells people is that, first of all, you're alone. You're the only one experiencing financial problems, right? You're the only buddy. You know, everybody else can just afford $12 milk a gallon, but I don't know what your problem is. Right. Hello? No. You're not alone. Amen. Nobody, you know, and we deal with this sometimes. He was like, well, nobody believes the same way you do. Well, no, there's a lot of people that believe the same way we do, right? That's the lie of the enemy when you get around people and particular pockets or something. Well, nobody believes that. Everybody believes us over here, right? Well, everybody thought Hitler was great, but that didn't turn out to be a good idea, did it? Nope. Right? Or Mussolini. Yeah, that was, well, no. Oops. I think we kind of messed up on that one, right? Nobody else wants a relationship. That's not true. People want relationships all the time, right? Maybe you just haven't found the right friends. Maybe you just haven't connected with the right people. Or no one cares. Things will never change, right? I remember one thing too. I'll never be able to do that. I'm closing with this, but I remember Brother Hagin talking about, and I experienced the same thing too. Brother Hagin talking about he didn't get very good grades. He didn't do any, you know, but when he got saved, baptized in the Holy Spirit, he began to consume knowledge like never before. I remember being in class with Brother Hagin, and he would sit there and just be teaching, and he'd take like a whole chapter or two and just rattle it off for like 4 straight minutes, just out of nowhere. Just grab it and just start. I mean, the guy's mind was just, why? Because God had his love upon him. And he's faithful to him. My goodness, when I was a little kid, I couldn't hardly read. I had all these problems. I thought, oh gosh. I liked math, but the reading thing I couldn't stand, right? So, yeah, I was just, yeah. And you're special class. So in that, and I felt stupid all the time, but I was good at math. I just didn't like it. I just did not like reading, and I had some self-esteem problem. It was just horrible. And then later, I started kind of, get a little bit better. But I had always had all these insecurities, and because I always had this mindset, you know, my mind went back to, I always see myself in this class with these other people, and I'm going, I don't belong here. Why am I here? But you know what? When I got saved, baptized in the Holy Ghost, I began to just absorb information like crazy. There's just something, and it's not because of me. It's just that God did something to my mind that changed things, and I have a different ability to absorb things now than I did before. I remember I was 19 years old, and this mindset will impair your ability to learn. It'll impair your confidence, where you're going, how things are going to happen. I remember being 19 years old. I was in studying electronics at a tech school in Tumwa, Indian Hills there, community college. And I didn't know what I was going to do. I was just having all these, like, what am I going to do with my life, you know? And so I went through the first year, and then the second year, it's a two-year program, I dropped out, and I thought, oh my goodness, am I going to amount to anything? You know, I'm thinking, what am I going to do for a living? And my mind was so consumed with what I was going to do, I didn't have the ability to even comprehend or work on my schoolwork anymore. And then later, again, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, got rededicated myself, baptized in the Holy Spirit, and something happened to me because I had a mind shift by the Holy Ghost. So these things that you're worrying about, the anxiety that tries to attack you or anything else, remember that God has set his love upon you. And this is not going to hinder you from advancing anymore. Those of you who have anxiety, worry, fear, anything like that, I am telling you right now, you begin to meditate on Psalm 91 and begin to confess those things out of your mouth, begin to change your mindset. There's things that I remember distinctly God supernaturally doing in my life. Number one, when I was addicted to alcohol and I got baptized in the Holy Spirit and I forgot I had a fridge full of beer and it just fell off me. And all these learning challenges I had when I was a kid, it just, when I began to think on him, they just fell off me. It wasn't because I was stupid, but there was a mind block the devil was trying to bring my way to hinder me from being able to come up to my potential. And see, the devil was stealing from me at that age. The devil was stealing from me at later on. Psalms 91. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through Christ. I've had to quote that many times, right? I recently been going to school, and there's a few classes and assignments and everything too. I've had to pull this out and go, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, right? I'm looking at equations and calculus going, huh? I don't get it, right? I didn't take calculus, right? But you know what? God helped me. And I don't even know anything about it. It's just, there's a something supernatural about God helping us through this time that you can have joy, you can call upon yourself. The joy of the Lord is your strength. If you don't have joy, everything else is going to go downhill. I'm telling you right now, if you don't have joy, even though everything looks terrible, you've got to have joy. I remember that day sitting in there, and I remember Kenneth Copeland saying something. It's very powerful often, and I've seen people close to me over the years and everything. The first words out of your mouth often dictate what's going to happen next. Exactly. The first words out of your mouth often will dictate what's going to happen next in a crisis. And I've stuck with me, and I've seen myself in times of crisis, like I said, any boardroom, where they have brought in all the other advisors and said, we're shutting this down. Your last day's today. It's a test, isn't it? It's not necessarily you're going to stay like that, but it's like, how are you going to respond to that? Guess what? You had a job up to that point, and guess what? There's going to be another job after that. So again, this isn't the end of the world. Besides, I don't want to work there anymore anyway, right? Something better. Who cares? I remember Ed Dufresne, one time he's a minister. Do I get 12 closings? Is that okay? Ed Dufresne was a minister years ago, and he was talking about different things, and everything was like, the money wasn't committed for his ministry, and there's all these other things. And he goes, I don't know, I'm just going to go buy a suit. Who cares, right? What are you going to do? I mean, how is worrying, how is getting upset going to help any of this? Like the Bible says, how is it going to add one stature to you? It's not going to do anything for you if you worry, get upset, strife. All you're going to do is have ulcers. You're going to have a nervous breakdown. It's not going to help at all, right? What's the worst? Oh, they take your house? We'll go get another one, right? Oh, they take your car? Oh, just get another one. I lost my job. Well, just go get another one. Get a better one. Well, they don't like me. They don't believe the same thing I do. Well, go tell somebody else. I don't have a meltdown just because somebody doesn't agree with me or anything else too, right? I have people that just, you know, witness to people and on the streets and everything. They just mean things to you, say nasty things to you, do nasty things to you. It's like, well, that doesn't mean I give up on Jesus just because one person just, you know, decides to go AWOL or crazy, right? None of this has anything to do with my relationship with Jesus, right? I mean, everything in this world is just temporary. Everything, right? I mean, I just had a pair of hunting boots that I've had for years, and I was just really upset earlier because I'm like, the sole came off. And I was so bummed. I told him, look, it's like, it was so perfect, and it's just so great. Now I got to spend money on more like hunting boots. Why? And it just happened right when we got, like, you know, all the snow. So, you know, I'm out there, and my soul's going clump, 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 and I'm like, and the neighbors are probably going, what? And I'm going like this, and I come back with a sopping wet sock. I didn't sign up for this. Lord, take me home now. See how we just look at stupid things like that and just have a meltdown, and it's not a big deal, is it? Right? But I was so upset because I'm like, oh, I remember putting those on all those years hunting, and just no. Yeah. I'm not gonna have a meltdown. But then it was just one more thing where it's like, now one more thing to buy, right? Okay, yeah. Now I got, you know. Yeah, it's like there's all the snow out there. How much more snow are we gonna have? Now I gotta get out there and shovel and everything else too, and I'm gonna have these wet feet all the time. No. But his love is upon me. Amen. To get new hunting boots. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you so much for this time together, Lord. Tonight, I pray joy of the Lord upon everybody here tonight, Lord, that no matter what we're going through, Lord, that you are here. You're looking out for us. You love us, Lord. There's peace. There's blessings tonight in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that we can do all things through Christ, yes, which strengthen us. But Lord, we thank you that there's good things ahead. Yes. I don't have to listen to the news and everything be bad and everything be terrible and awful because my world is good because I have Jesus in it. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for a blessed week for everyone in the name of Jesus. Protection, provision, joy, peace. We give you glory and favor in their work area and in the business, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Well, have a good week, everybody.